You're listening to episode 289 of Women Worldwide. With all the things you're managing today, how do you stay focused and find clarity? And how are you expressing yourself? I've got a guest today who has a lot to share on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for tuning in, for being here, and for helping to grow our network. We appreciate you. And I know every week I keep saying there's so much going on. Well, it's no different. This week, we find ourselves still in a global pandemic. Children are back in school, whether that means homeschooling or it's virtual school or some are in the classroom. We are figuring out how to open up businesses. Oh, and of course, if you're in the US, there's a presidential election right around the corner in less than 2 months. And there could be a vote on a new Supreme Court justice. Wow. With everything swirling around, how are you staying centered and finding clarity so that you're able to express yourself? Now, there are lots of ways to express yourself. And this episode is expression through writing. Because when you find your purpose and you can express yourself through writing, you can elevate important topics, you can move people to action, and you can entertain people, which is something that we really need today. So that's the perfect segue to my special guest. Joining me on the show is Rhea Fry. Said the name right, Rhea. And she is an award-winning author. Now, she's written several nonfiction books. She's also written novels, including Not Her Daughter, Because You're Mind, and Until I Find You. Rhea is also the founder and CEO of a company called Right Way. Rhea is ready to share her journey and her advice with you. Rhea, welcome to Women Worldwide.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I had so much in my mind how to say your name. I'm so glad that I said it correctly. Oh,
thank you so much for getting it right. It's a rarity, I can say.
Well, you're welcome. And, you know, I lined up this show with the clarity and being able to express yourself. So, of course, you know, I'm going to ask that first question about how you found your clarity to be able to express yourself and become an award-winning author. How'd you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with a dad who always introduced me to books. He taught me to read at a young age, and I always started writing. So I was writing letters. I was journaling. My nose was always in a book, and I actually went to school for fiction writing, quickly abandoned it for nonfiction after a terrible publishing experience with a first novel when I was 22, and then took the long way around. It was about 10 years before I ever touched fiction again. I kind of dabbled in nonfiction along the way and finally didn't give myself a plan B and said, I want to be a novelist. This is what I'm going to do. And I managed to make that happen at the end of 2016, early 2017. So it's been fast and furious ever since, but I've really always been entrenched in some aspect of writing my whole life.
I'm so glad you circled back, because after having, it must have been a horrible rejection or experience to want to abandon something for so long.
Sure. It was, you know, I think when you're young, or even not when you're young, but when you want to write a book and publish a book, it's often about the end result. It's about seeing that book on a bookshelf. It's about, you know, hitting a best-selling list. And you don't really understand the industry and that publishing is a business and your book is a product to sell. And at 22, I was just so hungry to be published. I didn't know anything. I didn't know that I was getting a bad deal. I didn't know that I was, you know, that it was going to be such a disappointing experience. And I think after that, I didn't give up on writing. I went on to have 4 books traditionally published, but I still was learning about the industry with every single one, hitting setbacks, rejections, failures along the way, and taking all that information and kind of storing it until I feel like really until I circled back around to wanting to become a novelist. So it's a really long journey. And I think in this industry, it can sometimes seem like, oh, so-and-so is an overnight success, or their first novel blew up and, you know, they're so lucky. But what a lot of people don't see is what goes on behind the scenes and all those lessons and all the years of learning.
Absolutely. So is that one of the reasons, as you were storing up all of your information, is that why you launched your company, to help other people write and get published?
Yes, I'm in this really precarious position, a very lucky position of straddling the line between being an author and then running a business for aspiring writers and authors. And as I was going through the process, I used to have people come to me all the time, ask how to get published, how to write a book proposal, how to edit, how to ghostwrite, all these things. And I became so passionate about giving that advice, and people actually started paying me for that, that it very quickly scaled to this legitimate business. And I was like, why don't I actually make this a business and offer the knowledge of what I know? Because in the publishing industry, there's a lot that's not talked about. Authors can feel sometimes in the dark, and we're not often, empowered to make our own decisions because we don't have all the information. So on my weekly podcast with my business partner, we really like remove the curtain behind the publishing industry and kind of talk about everything you need to know, from money to how a contract works to what publication path is the right one for you. And then in our actual business, we're really a one-stop shop for both fiction and nonfiction writers, from editing to pitching to literary agents, helping them land deals and just helping them navigate this industry, because it can be quite complex and quite confusing.
Absolutely. What do you think would stop somebody from actually taking that step, full expression, writing that either business book or novel or memoir? Has anybody shared, I guess I want to say, fears or challenges that they face?
Definitely. I mean, I think the fear of rejection is huge, of course, or that, you know, oh, what are my chances? You know, like, who am I to do this? But who are you not to? Like, what about if it does work out? And I think, you know, everyone has a story and a unique voice, but actually sitting down to write it, you know, it's said that 81% of people want to write a book, but so few of us actually sit down to do that, especially today, because we're so distracted. The world is so noisy, and everyone is always, consumed with comparing themselves to people who are doing it better. Right. So I really coach clients to clear out that noise, focus on their project, their value proposition that they're giving to potential readers, and really focusing on that. But I'm also very realistic about this industry. And if you're going to write nonfiction, then you've got to build that platform. You have to understand the industry. Same thing for fiction. You know, we really walk through each step, and writing the book, I hate to say it, is like the easiest part of this whole thing, because you have to be a marketing guru, a social media person, and really know how to sell your book in addition to writing it. And I always joke I was born in the wrong era, because I'm like, I just want to write books. Mm-hmm. And instead, it's so much about marketing and understanding how it all works.
Yeah, that's a really important point, because I have written books with large publishers.
Yeah.
And my first impression, my husband and I, we did just write a children's book.
Oh, congrats.
Which is completely different. But with large publishers, I went into it actually thinking that they would do so much behind the marketing. And when I started my first book, I started writing in 1999 with Prentice Hall. And I was quickly, I quickly learned the ropes that, you know, if you were a really big author, you were not going to get those interviews and speaking engagements. And, sure. You know, I think that there is a misconception about that. So it is important, no matter who you are, even if you are a well-known industry figure, having a handle on your own marketing.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that that is the misconception, like, oh, I got a publishing deal with a, you know, a legitimate publisher, so my work is done and it's just beginning. I mean, publishers do less and less. Yes, you have an in-house team, but the all of that really falls on the author to be their own best advocate. And that's why the author platform, building your community, having an engaged audience ready to buy that product, it's more important now than ever, because it's so easy now to, you know, get on Instagram and see someone who has like a million followers and they can write a book. And, you know, they might not even be a writer, but they have the audience. So I think that's, again, circling back around to where people get discouraged. They're just like, oh, you know, how can I do this? Or, you know, my niche might be really small. And that's why I love to work with authors around figuring out, hey, maybe self-publishing is right for you. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to figure out why you're doing this in the first place. And when we start to dig into goals, everyone is different. And that's what's so cool about today is if you want to be published, you can be published. It's just figuring out your own goals and what that right path is. And that to me is super empowering, no matter who you are.
Yeah, always starting with your goals. I mean, definitely. What are you trying to achieve here? And, you know, when I hear your story about at 22, going through a process with the with more the novel and then switching over to the nonfiction and then going back, your writing must have evolved. And do you think it evolved just naturally as you grew? Did you yourself get help with your writing?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I think we're always evolving as writers. Like as we write book by book, project by project, we're always kind of changing. And I think a big part of that is reading. And, you know, when I decided to write suspense novels, I really entrenched myself in that genre. But I did have that fear in the back of my head, like, oh my gosh, it's been 10 years since I've touched fiction. Who am I to sit down and think I know how to write a suspense novel? But I was able to kind of drown out those voices. I had been a reader of that genre forever. And I think reading sometimes really informs your writing and your writing style. So I think so much a part of becoming a better writer is becoming a really prolific reader. And it is fun to go back and look, though, at, you know, things that I may have written like 10 or 15 years ago. And so that all my journals from the time I was little up through teenage years, and my daughter is always trying to read them. And I'm like, no, it's insane to see kind of how you evolve as a person and as a writer.
Well, something tells me there's a memoir in there.
You know, memoirs are so tough though. Like unless you're, especially these days, unless you're a celebrity, it's hard to sell. But I do think I really feel the call, ironically, to go back to nonfiction at some point. I think that there's a story there. And even with what I'm doing with my company, like I want to give people all of those tools and to lay out that roadmap to show them how to do it.
I love that you're giving people tools. I do want to ask you, so is your latest book Until I Find You?
Yep, that is correct.
Tell us a little bit about that book and who is a reader.
So it just came out August 11th, and Until I Find You is about actually a blind widow named Rebecca Gray who believes her three-month-old son Jackson has been swapped for another baby, but no one in her community will believe her. So the reader really has to go on this journey of, you know, is this mother, this exhausted new mother who is blind, is she mistaken or has her son actually been swapped? And to me, you know, in this genre, I don't see a lot of protagonists with disabilities. And I thought it was super important to focus on a very strong, capable character who kind of has a hard lot in life and a lot of losses. She's lost her husband. She's lost her mother. She's a single mom, vision impaired, and she's about to just be tested in every way. And it was so challenging to write as a writer and not be able to rely on sight to illustrate the story. So it was, for me as a writer, super, super challenging.
That sounds like a really good book.
Thank you. It was fun to write.
How do you get into a creative mindset so that you can actually think up this topic and piece everything together or have your outline together? I mean, how did you find clarity to write this particular book?
I think that's always a struggle. And sometimes I think people assume if you have a publishing deal, like I'm on a book a year contract, so I have a 4-book deal with St. Martin's Press, and they think that I'm writing all day, every day, and I'm just, you know, spending hours and hours. No, it's not like that. I homeschool my child. I run a business. I have tons of clients that I usually put before my own writing. So my writing time, it's not consistent at the same time every day. But when I do write, I make sure to drown out the distractions. There's no phone in my room. No emails are open. Even if I get one focused hour, you realize when you start focusing in and remove the distractions, you can get a lot done in a short period of time. And so after every book, I kind of have that out-of-body experience where I'm like, when did I write that? Like, how did I have time to do that? But it's so fun. It's such an outlet. And it's the only time where I'm truly in the flow, where there really is no sense of time. I don't know. I can't even feel my body, like when I'm so immersed in story. So it's really therapeutic, but it's, you know, every day looks different. And I think that that's been really important as a writer to realize, to take that pressure off myself and realize that, you know, I might not be getting this 3,000 word count every day, but that's okay, because all bets are off in 2020. Everything is kind of up in the air, and you just have to adapt. And I think that's what this year has been all about for me.
Yes, you need to be flexible and adapt. Do you write in the same place, or can you be somewhere completely different than your office and sit with your laptop in a park and just write because you're there, and maybe your child's in the park?
Totally. Yeah, I'm that person that can write. I could write anywhere. I used to write a ton in coffee shops and then really craved silence and then, you know, carved out my office space. But I love getting a change of pace, a change of scenery. Sometimes I'll take little writer's retreats on my own and just get away to get that clarity. But I actually get the best writing done when I'm processing. So when I'm not writing, but I'm taking a walk without my phone to troubleshoot issues, to think. I think thinking and processing is such a huge part of writing. So if I can get that time to figure things out, when I do get pockets of time to sit down, it just flows out because I'm already in that space. So for me, it's more about just getting the mental space, which I do a lot through movement and activity. So it kind of all goes together.
So the mental space gives you the clarity to sort of get into the process, to let all of the writing flow.
Absolutely.
There is a lot of stress out there with what's going on. Yes. Do you ever feel stressed, or?
Only every minute of every day. No, you know, it's so funny. I've had all these epiphanies this year, and it's been a blessing, actually. I know 2020, we make a lot of jokes, but it's allowed me to examine my marriage, how I mother, how I think, how I feel, how I want to move. And I realize I've had just this like tight control and constraint around self-induced stress and, you know, like all these deadlines and things that I think matter. And this year has been so amazing for letting go, for being kinder and softer to myself, and really realizing like, I don't want stress anymore. I've lived almost 40 years in this like crazy stressed out mode, and I kind of don't want to do that anymore. So I'm really learning to be softer and kinder to myself. My husband's like, what is happening to you? Like, I cry, and I'm, you know, we used to joke that I'm like the soulless one, but it's been so amazing to just grow this year and evolve, because I can't distract myself and run around and stay so busy. We've had to sit still. Mm-hmm. And we started our business in January, actually, of 2020. My husband quit his comfy job to come join me at my company. And then COVID hit. And I was like, we've ruined everything. Like, we're going to have to sell the house. And instead,
talk about potential stress right there.
Yes, so huge stress. And our daughter was home and all of that. But instead, all of these people started coming to us. We started getting so much business because people were saying, if I don't write my book now, I'm never going to write it. So I've seen all of these beautiful ideas blossom within this year and people really going all in on themselves. And that's been like the most amazing effect to see as a business owner, just like helping people believe in themselves and then getting them agents and book deals. It's like, it's specifically the most fulfilling work.
So that's the thing. I mean, you went all in on yourself so that you can help others go all in on themselves, right? Because if you're not, sort of letting go and letting it happen, you made a conscious decision to be kinder to yourself. Oh, that's the best thing possible, especially when all of the external craziness is going on. To tune that out and just say, I choose not to be stressed. I choose a better way of feeling. And then you can go help others.
And I think too, I mean, just with everything with COVID and the pandemic, I mean, I've had to set boundaries with friends, news, even my parents, because I have decided early on how I'm going to feel about that. And then I'm going to focus on getting more sleep, boosting my immunity, moving, like, you know, infusing myself with positive thoughts and vitamins and things that I wish the conversation would turn a little bit more towards how to take care of ourselves and how to live a really healthy life, both mentally, physically, emotionally. Yeah. We've tuned out a lot of stuff that's going on because we learned early on, hey, this is going to be negative. It's going to be based in fear. We're going to be smart in our little, you know, in our little bubble, but really use this time to learn something and grow. And it's been invaluable, actually.
Learn and grow. That is refreshing. So I can't even believe it. We are rounding the corner. Almost. It flies by. We are ready, Rhea, for you to give the Women Worldwide audience out there just some parting advice about finding their clarity, their expression, and really feeling that centered, making that conscious decision.
I think you have to, again, carve out that time for yourself, whether it's first thing in the morning, 10 minutes, whatever, to fill up your cup first. And for some people, that is at the beginning of the day. But figuring out how to find joy in your life in some small way, because I feel like that really does bring the clarity when we let go of the have to do's and the task lists and just enjoy yourself and again, carve out that time, protect it, put it on your calendar if you have to, and then honor it. And doing that day by day by day, I think makes all the difference. And pretty soon, like you're living a totally engaged and exciting life.
And that is so much better. And that's a choice.
It's a choice.
Everybody's choice. Women Worldwide, all of you out there, it is your choice. So Rhea, that was great advice. Last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you, your company, and your books?
Great. So two websites to go to. So my name, rheafrey.com, R-E-A-F-R-E-Y.com, or my company, Right Way, that's W-R-I-T-E-W-A-Y-C-O.com, rightwayco.com. All the social media links are there, how to get in touch with me. We do offer 30-minute free consulting for any potential author who has something they're working on. We love consulting and helping people figure out. So all of that is right there on the site.
Terrific. Thank you so much for sharing your journey, the rejection, how you got to a place of total clarity and just really feeling peaceful. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Well, it was my pleasure. And I want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Keep the sharing up and the conversations going. We're hearing from you and all of your feedback is helping us to bring guests and topics and ways to get you to fuel up your passion so that you can express like Rhea. Okay, friends, until our next episode, be well, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.